Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But in the last day, verse 37, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, you can find that in verse 2 of this chapter. It says, Jesus stood and cried or yelled, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He that believes on me, as the scriptures, the Old Testament said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there's another verse, I'll get to that in a second, but let me give some explanation. The Feast of Tabernacles. There are, I think, 7 feasts, you can study them. Together they tell the gospel story. We understand the day of Passover. It pictures Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that died for the sin of the world. I don't want to go over all 7 of them. Don't really want to talk about this one so much. But on the last day of that feast, a couple of days it was, however long it was, the last thing they did pretty much, the priest or whoever it was would have a little ceremony and he would pour water, and I don't know the details, but they would pour water and it was a sacrifice or what have you for the Gentiles. Jesus, he said that he didn't go to the Gentiles, wasn't sent to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of Israel. But if you go in Exodus, I think it's chapter 11 or 12, it talks about the Passover. And it says that, hey, don't forget to set a place at the Passover feast for the stranger among you. Gentiles. But at this last little ceremony, as the priest is pouring and the people are looking, what have you, Jesus, at the top of his voice, yells, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, what have you. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye by and eat, what have you. There's a continual call, a continual, if you want to say, altar call throughout Scripture. Hey, come to God. He's the answer. Come to God. But it's interesting that there were 7 feasts. And this one, this Day of Tabernacles, at any time during the 2 or 3 days, Jesus could have said that. He could have said, hey, come to me. But on the ceremony that had to do with, oh yeah, those Gentiles, the people that ain't Jews, the ones we look down on, he stands up and says, hey, if any man thirst, come to me and drink. Again, he's the answer. He's the answer. I see 2 things here. If anybody's thirsty, if anybody's tired of themselves, tired of life, despairs of life, whatever, look to God. Any number of things that you could be tired of, any number of reasons why you might want God, but hey, come to God. But you see God come in the flesh saying, hey, come to me. You've got both sides of that coin. Come to me and drink. And if you believe on me, it says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's sometimes misused. It doesn't mean out of you. It means out of Christ. If you're thirsty, there's a river of water, living water. It comes from Christ. Drink of him. Again, it's as the scripture said in Exodus, I believe, chapter 17, the people had come out of Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea. Just a couple of days after that, they were thirsty. And they were in the desert, and it was 3.5 million people. I've said this before. Everybody knows somebody that was in one of the Gulf Wars, or Iraq, or Afghanistan. Everybody knows somebody that could tell you, man, it's hot over there, right? I'm a computer guy. It's what I do for a living. One of the companies I've worked for, it's a data center. If you have a bunch of computers, bunch of servers, computer on your desk, laptop, that's fine, but a server's special. It's really high performance, and it needs to be cool. We have a data center, or had a data center, whatever, in Saudi Arabia. And we had to get on them to tell them, hey, quit turning the air conditioner off. You would kind of think, man, I've been in the desert all my life. I'd like to go in there and be cool for once. But they go to work on the machines, and it was too cold. They're wearing coats. And they turn them off. And you get a computer over 90 degrees for too long, and it begins to fail. My point, it's hot over there, right? It's dry. 3.5 million people, the Jews, come out of Egypt. They were thirsty. Moses goes to God, says, what do I do? God says, hey, take your shepherd's staff, go to the side of that mountain and hit it. And out of that rock flowed water. Enough for 3.5 million people to take a bath if they wanted. And all the flocks and herds, they were satisfied. A river, a stream in the desert, it says in Isaiah. A river in the desert's pretty good, right? Yeah. On a hot day, I'm walking out, what have you, man, I got to go get a drink of water. I live in America. Most of America is not a desert. You go out west, whatever, but we got shrubs and trees and it rains every few days, but it's hot and I want a drink of water. He said, if any man thirsts, the soul without God is like a desert, and he's the only one that will satisfy the soul. But again, on the day of the last day of that feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, during the ceremony for the Gentiles, he says, hey, if any man, not just the ones that were listening, not the ones in the temple, but the cry goes out to the whole earth all throughout time. Hey, come to me. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we do everything we can to preach. I know people that preach in closed countries. Closed as if they get too loud, they'll be put to death. Used to be, decades prior, I guess you could go to a Christian bookstore and find all kind of books about missionaries. Adoniram Judson, if you're Baptist, I can name a few. I know missionaries from the Assemblies of God that were in India and Africa and other places. The missionary, I've said this, gives up his car, his other car, his air conditioning, his good food, says goodbye to all his friends for years at a time and goes in a completely foreign place and gives of himself and suffers and gets sick and there ain't no doctor. He suffers trying to preach the gospel. I'm going to get right back to that, but let's look at verse 30. He says, come to me and drink. And out of Christ shall flow rivers of living water. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it says, that that rock that followed them was Christ. The rock that Moses took his stick and whacked it and water came out, that rock was Christ. A picture of Christ. But it says he was talking about the Holy Ghost. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And we talked about this last time, but for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, as of John chapter 7, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to go to the cross, rise from the dead, go to heaven. And then the Spirit was sent, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Ghost, and we kind of touched on it last time, was given to the church to indwell the believer, to be with the believer. There's two things mainly. To indwell the Christian, to help the Christian live right. To illuminate his mind, to illuminate his spirit, that the Word of God would jump off the page and mean something to him. And that he says, well, I ought to stop going to the bars and doing all that stuff. The Spirit gives you power to live for God. To indwell, but also to empower. To help us to live right, but then to tell somebody else. But the water was poured out for the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 through 4. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break and a smoking flax will he not quench till he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth and the isles shall wait for his law. That describes Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. Alluded to this before, in Greek the word krio means to smear on. In the old days, skin your knee, mom would put some ointment on it. To smear on, that's what it talks about. Christ, Greek. In Hebrew, the word is Messiah or Mashiach, what have you. It means to be smeared on by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, you can read about it, I think it's Matthew chapter 3 and other places, the Spirit of God came from heaven, it says, looked like a dove, and rested upon him. This was when Jesus Christ was smeared on by the Holy Ghost. That's what it means, Christ, anointed, ointment, anointed. That's what Christ and Messiah means. When he was a kid, yeah, fine, when he was bar mitzvahed at 12 or whatever, he began his ministry, but then, no, he had to submit to his family, his mom and her husband. He was a carpenter. They knew him in synagogue. But after he came back from Jordan, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then everybody said, who's this? Man, that's not the carpenter's son, right? He was smeared on or anointed by the Holy Ghost. And we talked about last time and time before that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God, works with the Word of God, and won't go outside of the bounds of the Word of God. And we said that the Word of God testifies of Christ. Christ, the one that was anointed. He is the one that was anointed. The Spirit of God would rest on him and remain Jacob's ladder, if you will. And it describes him. He shall not cry nor lift up. He was humble. He was meek. He was lowly. Sitting on a ass and the colt, the foal of an ass. So many scriptures go together to describe him. He was humble. He didn't stand up and say, hey, look at me. He stood up and preached the word of God. People came to that conclusion. But he didn't go until the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't testify of, hey, he didn't publish, hey, I'm the one. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. For years, however long it was, he just preached the word of God and let people and the Holy Spirit in people come to that conclusion of who he was. He didn't say, hey, look at me. He didn't. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. Paul said, we preach not ourselves. We ought to take those verses to heart. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. He didn't fail in the work of salvation and redemption. He wasn't discouraged, even though we started out this Jesus arguing with the Pharisees in John 7. Till he hath set judgment in the earth, till he accomplished the work on Calvary, in other words, and the isles shall wait for his law. There may be a little island off the coast of Israel. Maybe, I don't know. But the isles speak of everywhere else, across the sea, America, Cuba. That's open a little bit. Maybe God will help us go as missionaries. It was closed for so long. You know, I talked about conflict earlier. Conflict. Cuba closed. You had to have a really good reason to go down there. And when you went, you were watched and followed everywhere you went. Now it's open a little bit because of Obama. Probably the people that have been praying for decades, they've got a visa and went in, and they're going to try and start churches or whatever. Conflict. And the souls of men hanging in balance. And that's what Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And that's why we do missionary work. The isles shall wait for his law. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the Savior. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. He won't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And he met Jesus, the kid, probably on the eighth day. And he testified. And I'll get to the testimony in a second, but he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for God's deliverance. He was looking for God. This sounds like David when he was following those sheep as his brothers talked down to him about. He spent time, day and night, sometimes, caring for the sheep, but praying and seeking God and writing songs which were written down, and we have about 70 or so in the book of Psalms. He waited for the consolation of Israel. You should be waiting for God to do something in your life. It's a relationship. We sing the song, as the deer pants and waits for the waters. I forget the words exactly, but we sing about that today. If you want a relationship with God, God will give it to you. But it says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Not only that, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would see the Messiah before he died. And then he came by the Spirit into the temple. God told him, hey, go to the temple. This was before, 30 years before Jesus started to preach. This is certainly a man living under the old covenant. And this man had a better and closer walk with God than just about anybody I know. He waited on God night and day, prayed, sought God, wanted something from God, and walked in the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God was on him and ministered to him, and he wanted that in his life. You know, that's Old Testament. I live in the New Testament. I live in the New Covenant. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. This man's got a better life, a better walk with God than I've ever had. And he was under the old covenant. We have a better one. I'm telling you, there's more. There's more to this thing than we realize. That we're so distracted by the world, the cares of this life, what have you. We need to emulate this man. But like I said, he begins to testify. He said, I can die now. I've seen the Messiah. I've seen the Savior. Verse 31 and 32, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. And look what he says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. He was a Jew, but the Jewish Savior, he died for everyone. Not just the Jews. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, don't have to turn. But you shall receive power. We talked about that empowering. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. It started in Jerusalem, then all of Judea. And if you go through the book of Acts, you see this. Finally, it came to Cornelius, a Gentile. Jesus is the light of the world, but he wants to shine to everyone. You can still see on public television. There's, I don't know where they are, in Africa or New Guinea or something. You can find documentaries. You know, we talk about reality TV. They got reality TV. They'll show documentaries of the people in the jungle that don't have clothes. Still today, don't have clothes. Don't care. Don't need no clothes. Right? But you can bet every missionary in New Guinea or whatever, wants to go minister to those people, wants to bring the gospel to them. We can receive power, and again, that was fulfilled, Acts chapter 2. But it's, as one Baptist preacher I know said, it's power for service. And we must preach the gospel. That's why Jesus died. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. By the Spirit, we talked about that last time. He's the other comforter. And again, power. He's with us always, even unto the end of the age. And that's how the book of Matthew closes out. We've got to be about the Father's business. We've got to be about the Father's business. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach and teach your word. Please do something in our hearts and lives. And help us to be like Simeon. He's a shining example and an indictment of us. When we have all these comforts and we have everything, we don't have half the walk he had. Please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.